question could be quality healthcare, eating healthy food, exercising, keeping structure to your week, having a day off each week, having meaningful friendships. Now, all those are helpful, but they can't stop you dying one day, and I reckon we all know this. Well, today the story in Exodus will point us to a lasting solution. We've been learning from a book in the Bible called Exodus over the past few Sundays. That it's the second book in the Bible. And God, the maker of all, sent a total of 10 different plagues on the Egyptians to show his power and so that he'll be proclaimed throughout all the earth. God has been using Moses to be his spokesperson, his prophet to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And God wants his people, the Israelites, to be free from slavery to the Egyptians so that they might worship him in the land God has promised them. Now, these plagues were destructive, and the last was the worst. The last plague is what we focus on today, which brings me back to that question I said at the start. What does it take for you to live and not die? That was a very pressing question for God's people, the Israelites, when they heard about the last plague God sent. And to assist us all in answering that question, we're going to hear more from Exodus today, and I'll be your guide through the next part of the story. And the key truth I want us to remember from today is this. God redeems his people through the sacrifice of the lamb. God redeems his people through the sacrifice of the lamb. And to redeem is to rescue someone from some evil by payment of a price. I'll say that again because this is important to understand what is happening in Exodus. To redeem is to rescue someone from some evil by payment of a price. Now, if you're still unsure about redemption, then we'll understand from Exodus what redemption looks like. And understanding redemption is really important today. Now, what's also particularly unique about the story today is the importance God placed on the Israelites remembering their redemption through what is known as the Passover feast. So we're going to hear four parts of the story today, starting at chapter 11. And either Nick or Abby will come up and read one section, and then I'll come up and respond to the reading, and this process will happen four times. So a different approach today, but my goal is that this process will assist us all in understanding and responding to Jesus, the Lord of all. So I'm going to pray to our Heavenly Father, and then Nick will come up first. Heavenly Father, thanks for this opportunity to hear from you this morning. Please, Father, may our hearts be open to you. May we be ready to receive your word. And please, by Holy Spirit, may you turn us from sin that we would love you more deeply and that we would remember what Jesus has accomplished for us in his redemption, as this story in Exodus just points forward to Jesus and what he's done for us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, church. This is the first reading out of Exodus 11, verses 1 to 10. Now the Lord had said to Moses, "I'll bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he'll let you go from here, and when he does, he'll drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbours for articles of silver and gold." The Lord had made the Egyptians favourably disposed towards the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by the Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I'll go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn of the female slave, who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There'll be loud wailing throughout the Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among these Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me, bowing down before me and saying, 'Go, you and all the people who follow you.' After that, I will leave." Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord had said to Moses, "Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt." Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country.
Thank you, Nick. So God's final judgment on Egypt. For God to bring his people out of slavery so that he could provide a land for them as he promised, there needs to be death. Now why, you might ask? Why does there need to be death? This is a big question because, yes, God could have just brought his people out of slavery without death, but God has chosen to free his people through the death of the firstborn, and as we'll hear more, of the sacrifice of the lamb. Now, God said he raised up the Egyptians to show his power by great acts of judgment so that he might be proclaimed in all the earth. And the truthful reality is that we all deserve death. Not one of us could stand before God and say, I deserve to live based on our own merit, our own works. And we all naturally want to live our own way ever since the first humans rejected God's rule and we're guilty of wrongdoing. Now that deserves death as punishment. Now we're going to reflect more on that later, but just hold it there. So God's judgment on the Egyptians for their evil in ignoring him is to punish them by killing every firstborn son of people and animals. But he will not do this for the Israelites, because there will be a distinction. God's people are protected. Now, even if Pharaoh hardens his heart or God hardens Pharaoh's heart, God is in control and will use the situation to show his power and his might. Now, this still isn't easy to hear, but God is still good. Now, if you read just this part of the story, then you might think, how is redemption here actually fulfilled? God is rescuing the Israelites, his people, from slavery to the Egyptians. Slavery is the evil. And God will rescue through killing the firstborn of Egyptians and their animals. But what's the payment? You can't really say the payment is the Egyptian firstborns, because all people deserve death. Well, the next part of the story will help us understand. Thanks, Abby.
I've got the wrong section. All right, we'll do... 12. Yep, 12.
12, first one.
Where, there it is.
First one,
yeah. First... Yeah, but I've got 1 to 13. You've started at 29.
No,
it is that. Okay. Never mind. The second one is from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take from them the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt."
Thank you. So God's protection of his people. God gives a clear process regarding when the lamb is to be eaten and how it is to be eaten. Every detail is to be followed because God's in charge and he's a God of order, not of chaos. Now, the key part of this story is verse 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So the blood of the lamb is the sacrifice. Instead of the firstborn son of the Israelites dying, the lamb dies in his place. Now, lamb was to die for each household, unless the household is too small for a whole lamb. But verse 12, God is going to bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt because he is the Lord. The Egyptians, well, they exalted everything but God. That's what happened in the time of Exodus. Now, this is still a big problem in our world, people exalting everything but God. We need to feel this today because judgment from God is always just and fair. We need to understand that our hearts too desire to live against God. We can be arrogant towards God, greedy and want more, or just seek out whatever pleasure we can get our hands on or whatever we can see. So who's your God? And who do you serve first? This judgment by God is going to be felt very closely because every Egyptian firstborn son and firstborn male of the animals will die. This is personal, but fair and just. God gives us life even though we turn against him and live our own way. Out of God's grace and loving kindness, he chooses to save the Israelites. God chooses to protect his people. And for death to be avoided, a sacrifice needs to be made. And this is key to God redeeming his people. Without a sacrifice, the firstborn son won't be saved. And God's going to rescue the Israelites from slavery through the payment of a lamb. And the Israelites will sacrifice a lamb mostly per household and put the blood on the doorframe of the house. And by doing so, God will pass over the Israelite households and not kill the firstborn son. Just imagine that moment this message goes out that a lamb needs to be sacrificed so that your firstborn son isn't killed. Thank you, God, for providing the lamb. Now, this moment in time signals to us what is true through the rest of God's word, which is that God demands a sacrifice for our rebellion. This is why either we die for our own sin or someone or something else does. And in this story, a lamb is used, but this is temporary because at some point all these Israelites died. We see in this story the Israelites being in need of redemption, but also more pointedly, our own need of redemption. We'll turn to the next part of the story. Thanks, Nick.
This is Exodus 12, 29 to 42. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner, who was in the dungeon, and to the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was a loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds, as you have said, and go, and also bless me." The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs, wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough the Israelites had bought from Egypt, they baked loaves of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now the length of time the Israelites' peoples were in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night all the Israelites are to keep vigil in to honour the Lord for the generations to come.
Thank you, Nick. So God judges Egypt and redeems his people. The Lord did what he said he would do. All the firstborn of Egypt died, all the firstborn sons and firstborn of animals. There was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. A very hard day. And Pharaoh did exactly as God said. Pharaoh sent Moses and Aaron away with the Israelites to worship the Lord, and in recognition of defeat says, "Bless me." Well, the Israelites had bread with them for the journey, but only unleavened bread, bread that hadn't had time to rise because they left in haste, as God said would happen. God's redeemed his people. God has rescued his people from slavery through the sacrifice of the lamb. Now, this story has deep significance for us because this story demonstrates that God is a rescuing God, and that for rescue to happen from God, a sacrifice is required. This story is a magnificent story of God's salvation. But why do we need to hear it? We can remember God as a saving God, but does this have any bearing on us? Do we need saving? Yes. So what does it take for you to live and not die? What does it take for the Israelites to live and not die in the story today? Well, as we've heard, they needed to kill a lamb, as God said, and paint the blood on the door frames, and they would live and not die, and soon be free from slavery. Such big news for them. They'd been waiting for such a long time. The Israelites deserved death, like the Egyptians, but God has given a lamb to take the place of the firstborn of Israel. The firstborn sons won't die because of the lamb. Now, this story today isn't just so that we can remember God's redemption of Israel, but also to remember our redemption through Jesus. We also have redemption available to us, and a much more powerful redemption. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our redemption is eternal and not just temporary. And I'll share more, but first, the final part to the story. Thanks, Abby.
Looking at chapter 13, verses 1 to 16. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal." Then Moses said to the people, "Commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Aviv, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, you are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. On that day, tell your son, 'I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt.' This observance will be for you like a sign on your hands and a reminder on your forehead that this law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the firstspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Abby. So remembering our redemption. God has given tangible signs for the Israelites to remember their redemption. God doesn't want his people to forget what he did and the power he demonstrated. God's the ruler, not us. The signs he gave the Israelites to remember their redemption included eating unleavened bread for 7 days every year. Also, every firstborn son of the Israelites and animals belongs to God. Verse 13, a donkey is to be redeemed with a lamb, and every firstborn son is to be redeemed, therefore not killed, but an animal given instead. These signs are to generate storytelling within a household as a child seeks to understand. So these signs are to be tangible reminders of God's redemption, of God rescuing his people from slavery because of the sacrifice of the lamb. Now, his people, they didn't deserve this, but God chose to rescue his people. And through retelling the story and continuing to use these signs, the Israelite sons have the opportunity to ask, what does this mean? And an opportunity would arise to tell of God's power and his redemption. Now, we are to live for God today because he's the creator of all and the one who sustains us. But his power is principally understood through his lasting sacrifice for us. The deep connection between God's redemption of his people from slavery in Egypt to God's redemption of people from all nations today is profound. God has chosen to redeem his people through the sacrifice of his firstborn son. The Lord did not kill the firstborn sons of Israel to free them from slavery, but lambs were sacrificed instead. But now God has chosen to make a way for a new life, a reconciled life, a redeemed life, and eternal life. God, who is love, has chosen to sacrifice his only son, his firstborn son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us. This is what God planned from the very beginning. From Genesis, a descendant of Eve would crush the serpent, the deceiver, the one who leads us away from trusting God. Jesus fulfilled God's promise. Without Jesus as our redeemer, we will face the wrath of God, and without depending on God, we will experience punishment forever. If the Israelites did not put blood of the lamb on the doorframe of their house, then God would have killed the firstborn son. We need to feel the weight of this. God sent Jesus to us to live and to die for us. God didn't protect his son from death because he sent him for us. Now, Jesus is also described as a lamb that was slain for us in the gospel according to John. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, alluding back to Exodus and the Passover sacrifice, a sacrifice is needed for our rebellion to God. Without a sacrifice, there's no forgiveness of sin, no forgiveness of rebellion. The Israelites deserve death, and so do we. But Jesus was given as our sacrifice. A once-for-all sacrifice for everyone who would call on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation. Our redemption is very real today. So Jesus came to rescue us from no earthly slavery, but slavery to sin, to living against God. And he saved us through the sacrifice of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. God's redemption for us and for all nations today is through the sacrifice of Jesus. So, do you know Jesus' redemption? And do you celebrate it? Or do you want Jesus' redemption? Coming back to that first question I gave us, what does it take for you to live and not die? God's one and only Son, his firstborn Son over all creation, not made but eternal, he offered up himself to take the punishment we deserve. Jesus redeems all who seek forgiveness for living against him. Jesus offers you life and eternal life. Jesus' life given for you. So do you accept his sacrifice or reject it? That's the choice before you each and every day. Now, in the everyday of life, you might not dwell much on what Jesus has done, but there has never been such love on display than the love of Jesus at the cross when he died. Jesus, the innocent one, died and bore our sin on himself for us. So the hidden sin that you want to keep a secret, or the public sin that you very much regret, or the way you speak to your spouse, or the arrogant attitude you have, or the shame in talking about Jesus, or the relationship you crave, or the attention you really want. Jesus took God's judgment for our sin upon himself. And those who trust in Jesus as Lord need to remember what Jesus has done each and every day. We desperately do, because how easily we forget God's good words to us and live our own way. The Israelites had signs to remember their redemption, and so do we. Lord's Supper, remembering your redemption. So we have tangible signs to remember our redemption, and two key ones, baptism and the Lord's Supper. I'm going to focus in on the Lord's Supper today. Now, you might come to the Lord's Supper with these questions and attitude. Firstly, what is this? This seems so weird. Why are we celebrating some guy that has died and eating small bits of bread and juice? Second, why do we need to keep doing this? Surely once a year is enough. It just seems strange to do this. Or thirdly, thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to share a meal with brothers and sisters in Christ to remember my redemption through Jesus' blood. So whatever your current thoughts, I highly recommend you listen now and consider whether any of your questions are answered and whether anything could be different with your approach to and understanding of the Lord's Supper. Jesus gave us this meal because he met with his disciples on the night of the Passover meal, the night before he died. And remember that the Passover meal is a meal to remember when God redeemed his people, the Israelites, from slavery to the Egyptians. Jesus initiated a new meal that points to his redemption and a new covenant in his blood, a better covenant, an eternal covenant, a new promise for anyone to be forgiven of sin and receive eternal life through saying sorry to God and trusting in Jesus as Lord. The Lord's Supper is for those in God's covenant family, those in the church, the bride of Christ, those bought through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who fought against evil and Satan and won to give life to his bride, the church. So the Lord's Supper is for those who believe in God's promises and turn from their sin to trust in Jesus. So as a church, when we share in this meal, We are remembering Jesus' sacrifice. We are remembering our redemption. Jesus' sacrifice has meant we no longer have sin in control, but Jesus is in control, and we have eternity with Jesus ahead of us. In the Lord's Supper, we are reminded we cannot just erase all the wrong we have done in living our own way. We can't. We have debt, and only Jesus can take that debt for us. So not only is this an important meal, but the most important meal we share with one another. Every time we participate, we remember, what does it take for me to live and not die? Jesus, only Jesus. Eating food doesn't sustain us forever, but Jesus does. When we participate, we know that because of Jesus, we have been given new life in Christ. We remember that without Jesus, there is destruction. So we yearn for more people to know Jesus. We also yearn for Jesus to return, because this meal foreshadows the glorious meal with all God's people in the new creation, praising Jesus the Lamb, the Son of God. Now, the Lord's Supper is also an excellent opportunity for parents to retell to their children what God has done for them through Jesus. So if you know in advance that the Lord's Supper will be happening for church, then prepare your children for this meal. Prepare your heart and their hearts for celebrating this meal. Now, parents, and I want to emphasize dads in this, retell stories from God's word that remind your children why we need Jesus as our sacrifice. All God's word points to our need of Jesus. And we need to tell stories in scripture that children ask, why do we need Jesus to die? So confess sin with your children. Thank God for his love and his holiness. Praise Jesus with your children. And this is all about preparing your heart for sharing this meal with the body of Christ. Now, if you don't have children, then do this as a household, as a couple. If you're single, then do this with dear friends or in your growth group. Now, if you're not part of a growth group and you want to experience this, then come chat with me over morning tea. But also, if you're not sure about Jesus, then the Lord's Supper is an opportunity to reflect on why Jesus and whether you need him. Please feel free to talk to me or someone about this today. So God redeems his people through the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God. I'm going to finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these words in Exodus. Thank you for your rescue of your people, your redemption of them. For a long time they were enslaved in Egypt, and they cried out to you, and you brought them out. You redeemed them, and this amazing story is used to point us to our need of Jesus today. Jesus, Jesus is your one and only Son, and you sent him for us to redeem us. Your Son, instead of us, died. Thank you for your redemption in Jesus, that he has come to take the punishment we deserve and to give us life forever, to understand life as you want us to understand life, that you're the one who guides us to live how we're meant to live. Please keep reminding us of our need of Jesus, that each and every day we need to come to him, not live our own way and say sorry when we do, and to come to Jesus remembering his sacrifice, celebrating what he's done. And thank you for the opportunity today to share in the Lord's Supper this tangible sign of your redemption in Jesus. Please give us hearts today to celebrate joyfully what Jesus has done and to be able to retell the stories in our households of what Jesus has done for us over and over again, so that we would just have a deeper love for you and yearn for more people to know Jesus, know that they can be redeemed and given life forevermore. Thank you, Father. Amen.